Certainly do appreciate, as has been stated already, your presence. Those who are visiting with us, we're happy that you've come. I want to encourage everyone to listen carefully as we study, turn in your Bibles if it's easy for you to do so. I will have most every scripture on the screen behind us, and I do that to help those who may not be able to quickly turn in your Bibles, but please feel free to do that as we study this morning. It's important that we know what God's Word teaches, that we handle it properly, that we are obedient to it. And faith is what causes us to be obedient to the Lord. Over the last two Sunday mornings that I've spoken prior, we began talking about the passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, where Paul says, "And since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak." And we took the lesson and we took the phrase, "We believe and therefore speak," and we talked about the fact that faith has to be followed with a therefore. If we believe but we don't do anything, then that belief, that faith is useless. But here Paul said, "We believe and therefore we speak." And we notice passages where the apostles spoke and spoke and spoke the Word of God in efforts to try to convert people to Christ. Last Sunday morning, we took that phrase, "we believe," and we inserted the word pray. "We believe, therefore we pray." And we tried to point out how that our faith causes us to pray, that prayer and faith are connected. James makes that connection. This morning, what I want to do is to look at that same phrase, "we believe," but I want to say, "we believe, therefore we give." And I want us just to take some time to talk about some of the things that the Bible says we are to give unto the Lord. But as we're doing that, what I want us to see is, it is the fact that it is our faith that causes us to give in our service to the Lord. Now, as we consider some things that we are to give to the Lord, obviously we must give a certain portion of our money. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2, the instructions were given by the Apostle Paul: on the first day of the week, let each one of you lay by something, or let each one of you lay something aside. When you couple that with, storing up as he may prosper, that there be made, let me back up and do that all over. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. Here, the instructions were, you lay by in store and you give on the first day of the week. Other passages that we might look at, you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning with verse 6. The Bible says, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." We are to give of our money. Now, God doesn't tell us how much money to give. Under the Old Testament, they gave a tithe. That is, they gave 10%. Let me move this down. They gave 10% of what they had earned. We do not have instructions in the New Testament as to how much we're to give. The Old Testament passed away when Christ died on the cross. The New Testament does teach that we're to give. It teaches that we're to give liberally, we're to give cheerfully, we're to give as we've purposed in our hearts. And so the idea is this: we have an income. And so we determine how much we are going to give on the basis of what we believe will be pleasing to God. We do so liberally. We do so cheerfully. And when we determine what that amount is, we set that amount aside for the Lord and we don't use it for anything else. When the children of Israel failed to give their tithes as God commanded, He said that they were robbing Him. In Malachi chapter 3 verse 8, in reference to what we've just said, the question is raised, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. And so suppose I determine that I ought to give to the Lord a certain amount. The week progresses and maybe things get kind of tight. But we decide we want to go out and we want to eat or do something else. And so I take that money that I've set aside to give and I use it for some selfish purpose like that. I'm robbing God. I ought not to do that. Whatever I purpose in my heart to give to the Lord, I ought not to use for my own selfish purposes. But then I think of something else. We must give some time as Christians. It takes time to serve God. The truth is, there is no way to serve God without giving a considerable amount of time. Worship requires time. We are here this morning to worship God. The truth is, many people are not worshiping God today. And most of us could probably find other things to do. It's not that we can't find other things to do. We understand the importance of worshiping God, but it takes time. In Acts chapter 20, verse 7, the Bible says, "Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight." There was a considerable amount of time spent worshiping God. It takes time to serve other people. It is impossible to serve others without giving of our time. In Matthew chapter 25, we have describe for us the judgment scene. And beginning in verse 31, the Bible says this, "When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king shall say to those on his right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?' And the king will answer and say to them, 'Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to the one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me.' Then he will say to those on the left hand, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me.' Then they also will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?' Then he will answer them, saying, 'Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it, you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.'" Serving others, helping others. It takes time to serve the Lord. Visiting the sick. Visiting those who are discouraged. Providing the needs of others. When we do that, what Jesus says is we're doing it to the Lord. And the point is, it takes time. to do those things, to see to the needs of others, to serve others. It takes time to be a Christian. It's not just three times a week, Sunday morning and Sunday afternoon and Wednesday afternoon. It takes time. It takes time getting acquainted with brethren. I think of in Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 43, here is after over 3,000 souls had obeyed the gospel. Verse 43 says, "Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need." So here they're together. They're willing to sell whatever so that people can have the needs met. Verse 46 says, "So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." On a daily basis, they were together from house to house, getting to know what God's Word teaches, getting to know one another. You know, I think here could be become a fault easily among us. Here is someone who is a new convert or someone who's new in the community, but we never get acquainted with them. We never see them. We never invite them into our home. And we go, perhaps after months pass, and they miss a service, and we call or we go by to check on them, and we send a card to them, and it's as if we're just basically total strangers. We really don't even know the people. It takes time to get, and I want to say this, that's not very effective. We need to know one another. We need to be busy doing not just our own thing, but what can happen is we can become so busy involved in doing our own thing that we just don't take the time to spend with others, forming a relationship so that we might help each other when a spiritual problem arises. I've said this before, and I'll say it now again, because this is the way it is. We have to take time. We're not going to make time. I used to say, "I'll make time." We don't make time. We have to take time. And what that says is that I have to get outside of whatever I want to do all the time and take the time to build relationships with fellow Christians so that we know each other, so that the care and the concern and the love is there. Let me just challenge us with this question. Who has helped you most spiritually in your life? Who has helped you spiritually most in your life? And I dare say that whoever that person is has spent time with you. They've cultivated a friendship. They've gone out of their way to help you because they love you. It takes unselfishness. And so, giving time in the Lord's service, praying, reading the Bible, studying for Bible lessons requires time. Getting to know others, helping others, all of that requires time. Let me suggest a third thing that we must give. And it's our faith that causes us to do this. We must give of our talents. The best way, perhaps, to establish that point is by looking at characters in the Bible and see how they developed themselves to be useful in the Lord's service. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, the Hebrew writer says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food." Now what that passage does, that passage suggests to us that we need to be developing our abilities to teach others. You know, oftentimes or sometimes what you see are situations, and to me it said you may see someone who's musically inclined. They may can sing, they enjoy singing, and here is a man, but if you were to put him up here in front of the congregation, he couldn't do anything. He's just unable or really unwilling to try to work on doing something. Or here's somebody who has the ability to teach. Maybe they can instruct in this or instruct in that, and they do that. They instruct in different areas in their life, maybe on the job, but they wouldn't know where to begin to teach a Bible class. And again, what we have to do is we have to develop our talents. Or here's a person with persuasive ability. Maybe somebody who's a salesman and they can talk to people and they can persuade someone to look at what they're selling. They know how to contact people. They know how to sell. But maybe they never use that ability in trying to persuade people in the work of the Lord. It takes time to develop our talents. Most of us, when we do anything for the first time, it's not like we do it as someone who has 50 years experience doing it. And we understand that. We don't expect that of ourselves or others. But we have to begin developing, using our talents in order to develop them. And I just raise the question, can the Lord be pleased with us when we use our talents that He's given us only for our selfish purposes? And the answer clearly is no. The Lord wants us to give money. The Lord wants us to give time. The Lord wants us to give talents. You know, I think probably somebody would say, and maybe we're thinking this, well, I certainly agree with that, and I give some of my money and some of my time and some of my talents to the Lord. But what I want to suggest is that our giving has to go much deeper than that. The Lord demands more of us than just our money and our time and our talents. What He demands, and I think about what was read this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5, "And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God." Here the context is talking about the contribution to the poor saints in Jerusalem. The Macedonians are being applauded, being used as an example. And what they did out of their poverty, they gave themselves to the Lord. And that's really what the Lord wants us to do. That's what He demands of us. He doesn't just want some of our money and some of our time and some of our talents. What He wants is He wants us. And so we'll conclude our thinking by the fact that we must give ourselves in service to the Lord. And what I'm going to suggest is this. That may provide the answer to some questions that we have concerning how much money should I give? Or how much time should I give in my service to the Lord? Or to what degree should I use my talents? If we give ourselves to the Lord, all of that will take care of itself. When we give ourselves to the Lord, we'll give as we ought. We'll spend the time that we ought to in service to God. We'll give of our talents. And what I would say is this, you show me a person who's not giving like he ought of his money and his time and his talents, and I'll show you a person who's not giving himself to the Lord. That's what the Lord wants of me and what He wants of you. And that is what most people are not willing to give. Give of our money? Most people are willing to give money. I know of a situation in a different congregation where a man would send a check to the church every Lord's Day. And then he eventually started coming to services. And he came out one day and he introduced himself. He came every Sunday. He would carry the preacher out at times to dinner. He would put a contribution check in the basket every Sunday. And yet the man never gave himself to the Lord. He was willing to give his money, but he was not willing to give himself. And what the Lord requires is that we give ourselves. People willing to give time, come to services, fill out Bible class lessons. People are willing to give their talents. In fact, they might like to be used more. You know, their thinking might be, well, if I was used more, then I might attend the services more regularly. Or if I was asked to teach a Bible class, I'd like to teach a Bible class, and I might be there more often. I might be more faithful. I'd be glad to preach when the preacher's gone if they'd just ask me. And if they'd asked me to do those things, I might be more faithful. I want to say this. Before anyone ought to teach a Bible class, before anyone ought to stand in the pulpit to preach, or before anyone does anything in the Lord's service, what he ought to do first is to give himself. Then let his talents be used in the Lord's service. The Lord doesn't just want our money, our time, and our talents. He wants us. He wants me. And He wants you. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus said to them, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." When I become a disciple of Christ, I'll tell you what, it's not about me. It's about Christ. It's about me denying myself, taking up my cross and following Him. And that's no more than what Christ did Himself. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, the Bible says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you through His poverty might become rich." Or in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her." The Lord became poor. He lived as a poor man. He left heaven, came to this earth because He loved us. He became poor so that we might become rich. As husbands, we're instructed to love our wives. In what way? Just as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for her. That's what the Lord did for us. That's what He asked of us. And when we read Romans chapter 12, verse 1, Paul says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. We are to give our bodies as a sacrifice to God. And when you read that passage, surely it takes us back to Romans chapter 6 in verse 3 where Jesus says, or the Apostle Paul says, or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death, therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We have been buried. The old man is dead. We have been crucified, put to death, to be raised in newness of life. Verse 5, for if we've been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we also shall live with Him. We have been put to death. We have died with Christ. Verse 13 says, and do not present your members as instruments of righteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. And you read that, and then you come to Romans 12, verse 1, and we understand, having put to death the old man, that we are to present our bodies to God as a living sacrifice. I think all of us have seen people who have given themselves to pleasure. What do we mean by that? If we say somebody has given themselves to pleasure, well, everything is secondary in that person's life except pleasure. Everything is devoted to pleasure. And the person who gives himself to pleasure, he just works so that he can sustain his life. His eyes are on the weekend. He saves his money for a new boat or for a new gun or for a new whatever. Everything centers around pleasure. What do we mean when we talk about somebody living for worldly success? We know what that means. Everything that they do is predicated on them being successful so far as the world is concerned. Now suppose a person gives himself to the Lord. That just means he has yielded himself completely to Him. He presents his body as a living sacrifice. His body is being lived to serve Christ, to do whatever his will commands. And he's completely controlled by the fact that he belongs to the Lord. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 39, Jesus says this, he who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. We have to lose our lives for the sake of Christ. And that's when we will find it. We believe. Therefore, we give. We give of our money. We give of our time. We give of our talents. But more importantly, we give ourselves. And what motivates us to give ourselves is our faith. We know what God has done for us. We know what Christ has done for us. We believe. Therefore, we give. Let me close by raising this question. Where are you, or how far have you come along presently in your spiritual attainment? I confess, I have not arrived. I won't arrive. But how far along are you in your spiritual attainment? We sing the song, "None of Self and All of Thee." The first stanza says, "All of self and none of thee." The second stanza says, "Some of self and some of thee." The third stanza says, "Less of self and more of thee." And the fourth stanza says, "None of self and all of thee." I have to confess, when we sing that song, I sing that fourth stanza as a resolution. What the Lord wants me to do and what the Lord wants you to do is to give yourself and to give myself. Whatever degree we are in our spiritual attainment, to that degree, you have and I have devoted myself to the Lord. To that degree, I have given myself to the Lord. And the Lord is not asking, nor are we, as the Lord's people, we're not asking people to give something to the Lord. He wants you. He wants me. Can you see how faith is the basis of everything? We believe. Therefore, we give. We give ourselves. And as our faith grows, we don't ever ask the question, how much do I have to give to please God? How many services do I have to attend to please God? How many people do I have to see or do I have to serve to please God? No. Our attitude is, Lord, help me give everything that I can. And to constantly be looking at my life, evaluating my life, and help me to give more, and to give more, and to give more. And help me to give myself to you. And when we do that, then whatever the Lord asks of us won't seem silly. It won't seem trite. It won't seem ridiculous. We'll fall on our knees with gratitude that the Lord has allowed us to be His children and to serve Him and to worship Him. My friends, that is a privilege. That is a blessing. And if we ever look at it in any other way, we just have the wrong idea. God doesn't need me. But oh, how desperately I need Him. We're going to sing the song that has been selected.